talk first? I talk first.
Welcome to the inaugural episode of our podcast, Your New Best Friends. I'm Rachel.
I'm John.
And tonight we're going to be talking about...
Wait. Are we their new best friends?
No, we're introducing them to their new best friends. It's going to be the cast of a TV show where we talk about who the people are and why we like them so much. Just to be clear right up front, huge spoiler warning on this episode, which is about Supergirl. The first season of Supergirl has some pretty big twists that we are going to be talking about. So if you haven't seen it yet, turn off the podcast, go get the DVD or the Blu-ray or watch it on Netflix or Amazon or iTunes. You know, you can get it a lot of different places, but go watch it because it's really good and then come back here.
Also, while you are getting caught up with Supergirl, if you just are very eager to jump into this podcast, we are going to drop an alternate first episode just for you, which will be about Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. New in this case, meaning 1994?
Three-ish?
Somewhere around there.
Ish?
Mid-90s.
We'll figure it out before we record the episode.
Yeah. We'll give you the actual data on that episode.
And we'll also be spoiling that one, but statute of limitations is way
off on that one. Yeah. So yes, we're going to be talking about Supergirl here. The first season came from creators Ali Adler, Andrew Kreisberg, and Greg Berlanti, who are also some of the people behind other DC Comics TV shows like Arrow, Flash, and Legends of Tomorrow.
The comics character Supergirl was created by Otto Binder and Al Plastino, but the world of Superman, as most people know, was created by Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster. So all of these characters are kind of from the old comics that started in...
Supergirl first showed up in the 50s, Superman showed up in the late 30s, mm-hmm. So yeah, this goes back a ways.
Some of this stuff does. However, the reason we like this show so much, even though it's kind of cheesy, is it is much more progressive than those old comics. It's got some great characters, some incredible relationships, and we want you to check it out. So let's start off talking about the title character, Supergirl herself, Kara Danvers, also Kara Zor-El as her Kryptonian name, played by Melissa Benoist. She's Superman's cousin. She was 12 years old when Krypton blew up, and she was sent to Earth as well to take care of her cousin, who wasn't a baby at the time. But there were some wormhole issues with her spaceship, and she was caught in a time warp of some kind. I kind of tune out when they're talking space stuff.
You don't need to worry because at the beginning of every episode, they're going to remind you what happened.
That's true. That is very helpful. So anyway, she finally makes it to Earth. She's still 12 years old. Her cousin has already grown up and become Superman / Clark Kent, as everyone knows. And she's grows up herself with a very nice adoptive family. And when the show starts, she's an executive assistant in her mid-20s. And she has not been using her powers. But pretty soon in the first episode, she puts on a cape because capes are cool. And she starts saving the world a little bit.
So in the comics, Supergirl has basically been a teenager for 60-something years. On the show, she's in her mid-20s, and that's a really cool thing because we have a lot of stories about superheroes that are either teenagers or they're in their 30s somewhere and just kind of solidly adult. There just haven't been nearly as many stories told about people in that transition age who are trying to be superheroes while trying to figure out life as either college student or newly graduated. And there's a lot of room there for people who are figuring things out to also be figuring out how to save the world. We were rewatching the show and you said something about Melissa Benoist is a joy forever, which I think is true. And I was hoping you would kind of expand on that.
Melissa Benoist is a joy forever. She's so fun. She just, when she smiles, you just want to find out what made her smile so that you can make that happen again so she'll smile some more. She's just super cute is all I'm saying.
She is adorable. She also can pull off that character who could be really corny, but it works and you don't care because you believe it.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's Kara. Who are we going to talk about next?
Oh, Alex Danvers, Kara's adopted sister, played by Kyler Lee. Alex is a soldier / scientist. And this is one of those great things where a lot of shows would kind of make her be the, she's smart at everything, she's the best at everything, she's awesome, and she never has any problems. Alex is a very well-rounded, realistic character. It makes sense based on the universe she's in and the training she's had and the family she grew up in that she is a brilliant scientist, as her parents were, and that she's been recruited to be a soldier in this super special secret organization, the Department of Extra Normal Operations.
I like, though, that you brought up that on a lot of shows, Alex would just be the perfect one who's good at everything. This show, like good versions of Batman, they recognize that somebody who's that good a scientist and someone who's that good a soldier probably has no life outside of work and has some problems with maintaining interpersonal relationships.
Alex does not have much of a life outside the DEO. She...
And her sister.
And like, her sister. Yeah. She works very hard. And I do like the point that it's never forgotten that she is Supergirl's sister. Right in the very first episode, she does ask her boss, hey, did I get this job because of my sister? And the boss says, yeah, I recruited you because you're Supergirl's sister. But you're staying here because of who you are. And that's fantastic. She obviously has connections to Supergirl, but she has her own merits, and we get to see those throughout the show.
All right, so you did happen to mention Alex's boss.
I did. Hank Henshaw, also known as... Da-da-da-da! Here's the big spoiler.
John Jones.
Okay, I can't say that name out loud because I think it's ridiculous.
No, you can't. Actually, in fact, I think the actors have talked about how the directors would really stress that they had pronounced it John Jones, like Z. Really emphasize the Z.
Yeah.
So that
it's just a dumb name.
It's a 1950s name.
It's not awesome.
I love it because I love cheesy things.
Hank Henshaw.
I'm talking about cheese tolerance, really.
John Jones, played by David Harewood, who is an amazing actor. That's the spoiler. He's Martian Manhunter. And there's a great fake out here.
Yes, because Hank Henshaw in the comics is the cyborg Superman.
Who is a villain.
Yeah, a supervillain who impersonates Superman for a while and is responsible for a lot of terrible things in the DC universe. In the first few episodes of Supergirl, every so often we see Hank's eyes flash red and all the comics fans in the audience are sitting there going, aha, aha, they're setting us up for the cyborg Superman. And then a little ways into the season, we get the big twist. No, the red eyes are Martian Manhunter, a member of the Justice League, a good friend of Superman, and another alien superhero. And it's both a cool twist, and a Martian Manhunter is a character who, while not that connected to Superman stories in the past outside of Justice League, does fit in terms of theme and character really well with Supergirl especially, and they do beautiful things with it.
And if you've been paying attention, he is the leader of the Department of Extra Normal whatever, which was specifically created to protect the Earth from aliens, and he's an alien. So when that little bit of information comes out, there are problems.
Yeah, there's definitely good dramatic mileage they get out of it, but I love how it plays into the themes of the show, too. The fake out specifically, the fact that comic fans go in thinking that he is this villain. No, he's actually a great hero. He's a character that is a really good person and somebody you like hanging out with. And that idea, that's a great theme of the show, that people are better than we think they are.
Speaking of people who are better than we think they are, next up in our list of characters is Cat Grant, played by Calista Flockhart. Cat, as some of you may remember, started out as a gossip columnist at the Daily Planet in Metropolis. By this time, she is a media mogul. She has her own magazine and newspaper and probably a TV network. And
she definitely has a radio station.
She is the big boss, and she starts out pretty firmly in the Devil Wears Prada territory, but the longer we watch, the more likable she is, the more human she is, but then she also talks directly about why she acts the way she does. She talks about how hard it was to get where she got, the sacrifices she made along the way, and the way she has to act so that people take her seriously.
Well, one of my favorite anecdotes in the show is when she talks about what Perry White, the editor of the Daily Planet, could get away with. If you are somebody who's read Superman comics or seen any of the movies or seen Lois and Clark, you know Perry White and you have a sense of him as a good boss. The story she tells is a time that Perry White was upset about something and he threw a chair through a window and did not open the window first. And she points out this is something that a woman could never get away with.
Yeah.
Next, there's James Olsen, played by Makkad Brooks. You may know James better as Jimmy Olsen, Superman's best pal. In the show, he's trying to step out of the Kent Lane team's shadow, so he's building his career in a new city. And James basically gets the same upgrade that Kara does, where they take a character who's been a teenager for his entire 70-some years of existence in the comics and give him a chance to grow up. So he's Catco's new art director, but over the season, he finds he misses the action of being a photographer in the field. The show gives James a backstory which, as far as I know, is unique to this version of the character. In the episode Human for a Day, James shows Kara the first photo he ever took, which which is of his dad. His dad had just bought James his first camera, and this was right before dad went away to serve in the Gulf War. James says it wasn't a great camera, but it was still more than their family could afford. Dad never came home, and James never stopped taking pictures, because with a great photo, he says, you can capture the truth of a moment and keep it forever. And that idea that a photo is a memory that you always get to keep, I think is just a beautiful and heartbreaking piece of writing.
And you're tearing up just a little bit as you say this.
A little bit, yeah. I had to focus pretty hard to get through that one.
The last member of the Scooby gang is Win, short for Winslow Shot Jr. And the Jr. actually is more important than I would ever have imagined. Played by Jeremy Jordan, who, by the way, was nominated for a Tony Award for being Jack Kelly on Broadway in Newsies. I love Newsies.
Yes, that is a wonderful show.
And I noticed, did you do this on purpose? I am drinking out of my Newsies mug.
Oh, honey.
That says Seize the Day.
Of course I did.
Of course you did. Well, thank you. Wynn, unfortunately, starts out as the group's Xander.
Fortunately and unfortunately.
Yeah, he is the computer whiz, and he does get a lot of great bits where they do rely on him to do cool things. But he's also a bit of a nice guy at the beginning. The kind where he says something about friend zone, and, you know, he's pining over Kara from afar, and sort of asks her to the movies, and she's just like, eh, and he's just like, ugh, and I'm just like, ah.
Yeah, luckily they back off of that very quickly, and within an episode or two, she talks about things that make it pretty clear that they're actually friends who hang out, which makes the fact that it was weird when he asked her to a movie make no sense, but it also is a much better relationship to watch. He's basically the lovable nerd friend and the tech support.
But he also does get a romantic storyline of his own, which I think is very important.
Yeah.
A lot of times the nerd nice guy doesn't get that, and it's just somebody who's kind of shoved off to the edge to forever pine, and I'm glad that they didn't do that for him. So as I said, the Junior was important in the comics. Winslow Shot is a supervillain known as the Toy Man, who actually in the comics killed Cat Grant's son. So people like John, who know these things, assumed that Win Shot was going to be set up for a tragic fall. But it turns out he is the son of the Toy Man. Really? Toy Man is what they called him?
The Toy Man, yeah.
The Toy Man.
Yep.
Real creative.
Old character. And it's directly addressed, and that's something that is very real, the idea that when you have parents that have done things or behaved in ways that you are not proud of, and you worry about those, do you have those qualities inside yourself? There's a lot to play with there, and I think they do it pretty well in his episode.
Just to jump in for a couple of smaller characters who still get some pretty good face time on the show, Lucy Lane, Lois Lane's younger sister, and in this show, an actual character, unlike in Lois and Clark, when she was mentioned maybe three times, appeared once, and then sort of forgotten about. Lucy's played by Jenna Dewan Tatum. And, you know, I can't hate anyone who's married to Channing Tatum. She's fabulous. She is unlikable at first. She comes in as...
I wouldn't say unlikable. She comes in a role that is antagonistic in certain ways, but I don't think she herself is unlikable.
Nope, you're absolutely right. You're right. I was confusing her with a role. She comes in as a spoiler because, of course, we're already seeing romantic attraction between James and Kara, and Lucy comes in as James's girlfriend who came here sort of following him, sort of not, from Metropolis, and
well, but she also shows up in an official capacity because she is it naval intelligence? She's military intelligence, and she shows up with her dad, who is General Sam Lane, who doesn't like aliens, and in an official capacity, she's also there too.
Yes, but not then she necessarily stays.
Yes.
But it works out pretty well because she does build a relationship with Kara. There's tension of a love triangle, but it's not because everyone is fighting over the same person. They are legitimately trying to do what's best for everyone, and in a way, Lucy and Kara both root for each other to be with James. Lucy also, as time goes on, she does get involved with the DEO. She gets to be more involved in the superheroing part of things. So it works out pretty well.
And we also have to throw in a shout out for a newscaster that is seen from time to time on the show, who is played by Jay Jackson, who is better known to fans of another of our favorite shows, Parks and Recreation, as Purd Hapley.
This guy was an actual newscaster for over 20 years before he got an acting role. And he's been on several shows. He always plays a newscaster. The cool thing about this guy is his big break came on a demo reel. He runs the Los Angeles Reporters Clinic that helps aspiring reporters get jobs by creating demo reels. And Jay Jackson was helping a student create a demo reel. The reel got sent to a network TV exec. And not only the student, but also Jay Jackson got job offers.
Specific relationship. relationships in the show, platonic and otherwise, that really attached us to the characters. And in this show, you have to start out with Kara and Alex. The show is definitely very much about these sisters, and they just have a really strong relationship that's really fun to see, where they're very loving and supportive, and a lot of the episodes end up with them curled up on the couch together with takeout and watching TV. But you also do get them touching on the complexities, the parts of this relationship that are not easy, especially for Alex, who was a middle schooler and suddenly had a literal alien refugee living in her house, and what it's like, the kind of pressures you get growing up being compared to Supergirl.
But unlike a lot of shows where sibling rivalry would develop from this, you get two sisters who bond together even though they do have different experiences of their parents. Their relationship isn't altered by it. They don't get angry with each other for it. They recognize that it's mom who has the problem, and the sisters aren't to blame.
So many shows, you either get a relationship that is very perfect or very fraught and dysfunctional, and this show is very realistic.
They do have conflict, Alex and Kara, but it always comes from a place of trying to do what's best for each other and themselves, and supporting and loving each other. So I have to talk about Hank Henshaw and his baby girls, Jean Jones being the last Green Martian.
Yes. Yeah, okay. The rest were all killed and he was transported to Earth.
So Hank talks about his family back on Mars, which includes daughters. And you can tell, even before that, that he does see Alex and Kara a little bit like his baby girls, his daughters. But he does it in the best way. He is their boss at the DEO, and he is always wants them to do their best. He wants them to stay safe and make sure that they're thinking through their decisions. He wants them to use their training. He wants them to grow and be independent and the best baby girls they can be. I'm not trying to infantilize here. I just really like the idea of Papa Hank and his babies.
Yes, and it also works dramatically. They do some wonderful things with that, and there are some big twists that we won't spoil, but they're tension, and there's some good soap opera that they get out of the relationship between those three characters.
We also get a nice contrast there. We do get to see a little bit of Kara's adoptive mom, Alex's biological mom. So we get to see how she reacts to her daughters. We get to see how Hank works with the sisters, and we also do see a fair amount of one of Kara's Kryptonian relatives. We see some flashbacks with her mom. We see some storylines with her aunt, who happens to be her mom's twin sister, both played by the fabulous Laura Benanti.
That's a name I didn't look up how to pronounce.
Oh, man. Laura Benanti.
Yeah.
I'm going there.
Yeah, something like
that's
that.
That's where I'm going. So you see, we do get several different examples of parenting. Kat Grant is also a parent, and she, spoilers, we find out she has not only the young son who lives with her, but also an older son who has not been raised by her. So the exploration of parenting in this is pretty thorough for a show that's not about a family.
And then the occasional flashbacks where we get Jeremiah Danvers, Kara's adopted dad, Alex's dad.
Played by Dean Cain, Superman from Lois and Clark.
Yeah, the show does do some great fan service casting. We've talked a little bit about Eliza Danvers. That's Helen Slater, who was Supergirl in the 1980s movie.
And of course, we do have to talk about the friend group.
Yes, this is one of those shows where you get a group of friends that manage to get their schedules coordinated so that they're all hanging out with food and games and TV and whatnot. It's the kind of friendships I always enjoy seeing on TV, that big group. That's not something I ever was particularly good at developing myself more often, and I just can enjoy vicariously watching these people on TV. Pretty much why we have this podcast.
Oh yeah, that kind of is. That makes us seem really sad and lonely.
Yeah, a little bit.
Hey, I have more friends than you do.
Are we gonna play that game? I mean, you'd win, but
no we won't. So one of the themes that they directly talk about in the show is stronger together. Kara explains that the S on her costume is the Kryptonian crest of the House of El, and that in their language it means stronger together. So the idea is about people who just want to help other people. If you are all working together, you will end up with something that's stronger and better than if it was just Superman or Supergirl working by themselves. A lot of Superman ideas are this version of Superman who has the weight of the world on his shoulders. And in this version, Supergirl, yeah, she feels like she has a lot of responsibility, but she also has a team of people with her.
I wouldn't even say that that's a lot of Superman stories, but definitely recent ones. And if those stories have not spoken to you, as they didn't particularly work for me, it's refreshing to see a version that goes back to wanting to help people and not thinking about it front and center again. The idea that no, it is perfectly realistic for somebody to not have to think about whether they are going to try to help somebody.
And you may notice the more episodes of this podcast we record, the way we choose our new best friends is looking for people and groups of people who are always trying to do the right thing. They're trying to do right by other people, even if sometimes they don't know how or they mess it up. At least they are trying.
The show also is very directly a refugee story. Here we have a show that specifically talks about Kara and Jean as refugees. And part of the text of the show is sometimes people being suspicious of these alien refugees, but they are actually people who are making our society and our world stronger and safer, and we are better off for having them here with us.
The show is also very female focused. The main character and most of the supporting cast is women, and they have their own relationships. They don't rely on men. They don't talk too much about men.
They do a good job of putting in women characters both in places where the comics tended to have more focus on men. Supergirl's story, traditionally, her dad's a bigger part. Her aunt is a brand new character that makes a great antagonist. And then there are supporting characters working at the DOE. We find out that Madam President is running the U.S. in this world. We're going to meet her next season, played by Linda Carter.
Unfortunately, the show is still pretty white. We have a little bit of diversity, but
basically it's James.
Yeah. Well, James and Hank.
And Hank.
And
who's also green, but
you know. Otherwise.
And it's very hetero. But my understanding is that both the racial diversity is going to get a lot better next season, and we are getting Maggie Sawyer, who's a great lesbian character from the comics.
So that's the show. Who is your favorite character? And, or, who do you most identify with?
So I'll give an honorable mention to Wynn. There are both positive, nerdy ways that I identify with him, and ways in which I see things that were very true of my younger self that I'm not thrilled about looking back.
The nice guy thing.
In ways, but mostly I have to say Kara. That is the kind of person I try to be, and some of that is Superman has always been a character that meant a lot to me for that reason, that these ideals are things that are important to me and that I try to kind of live by. But also Kara's just so fun.
Kara's really fun. I think my favorite character, though, has to be Alex. Alex Danvers is... Well, she's badass. I'm not going to deny that. As much as I make fun of you for overusing the word badass, Alex is pretty awesome. I really like her protective older sister vibe. The way she makes decisions and talks about decisions.
All right, so is Alex also the one you identify with the most?
No, I'm going to have to go with Lucy Lane on that one.
Is that just because Lois isn't in the show?
Yeah, I think the character I most identify with of everything ever is Lois from Lois and Clark. But Lucy is a get stuff done character who also gets pretty cranky when she finds out that people have been keeping things from her. And that's kind of me.
I would like to say for the record that I never keep anything from you.
Lies.
Are you talking about surprises for birthdays and anniversaries, which are things that traditionally people are okay with being kept from them?
This is not an appropriate topic for the podcast. Let's move on. Go ahead and check out Supergirl. It's pretty great. Season 1 is available, as we said, on Blu-ray, DVD, iTunes, Amazon, and Netflix. Season 2 starts on the CW on October 19th?
10th.
October 10th. Why does it say 19th?
I don't know.
Did you type it wrong?
Possible.
Are you sure it's the 10th?
I was until you asked me that.
Okay. It's probably the 10th.
All right. If you want to start with one episode and not just at the beginning, what's the episode that we would recommend?
It's got to be the one we just watched tonight, World's Finest. We get a crossover with The Flash. Super fun. The characters as well as the actors are just enjoying the heck out of each other. They're having a great time. We definitely rewound a couple of times. Can you say rewind on a Blu-ray? We stepped back a couple of times. Just to watch Melissa Benoist and Grant Gustin be adorable at each other.
Yeah. And Jeremy Jordan.
It was pretty great. All right, wrap it up.
All right, so we're going to do a special feature in every episode of our show, which we're going to call the Jaeger Olympics.
If you have seen the movie Pacific Rim, you may be familiar with the Jaegers. These are the giant mecha thingies that are piloted by usually two people, telepathically linked using technology that's called the Drift. So these are two people whose brains are going to be linked together. They're drift compatible is what they're called. So to be a great pilot and save the world by fighting monsters, your interpersonal relationships have to be very strong.
So at the end of every show, we're going to nominate the characters from that show that we feel are the most drift compatible. And at the end of the year, we're going to put all the teams up in a bracket on our website. And then the listeners will get to vote on who wins each of the matchups in the Jaeger Olympics. So representing Supergirl, we will have
Kara and Alex, the sisters. They are so in sync, it doesn't matter that they're from different planets.
Honorable mention.
I think that Cat Grant and Hank Henshaw would be incredibly Drift compatible.
Sure. All right, so that's our Supergirl episode. Rachel, what do we have coming up for them next?
You've got kind of a choose-your-own-adventure thing going on here. You can either go to our other first episode, the Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman podcast that we have not yet recorded, but by the time you're listening to this, we will have recorded and also posted at the same time. Fingers crossed, knock on wood. Well done! That is appropriate Foley work. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Or you can wait until next month when we will be talking about Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
This has been your new best friends. Characters we love.
So you will too.